Louis Yanfeping. Christmas is always a very happy time, a very festive time. I think, however, Easter is maybe even more important, certainly talked about in the Bible much more than Christmas, the reality of the risen Lord is the foundation of our faith. We know that the risen Lord appeared to his followers a number of times after he rose. What I find both interesting and touching are the times that Jesus appeared to specific individuals, not groups of people, but specific individuals. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, who was at the grave weeping because she did not know where they put Jesus' body. Another one that Jesus appeared to especially is Thomas, who was unwilling to believe that he was risen unless he saw Jesus and touched Jesus himself. Today's sermon introduces two other people that the Lord appeared to. One of those was the women who went to the grave, found it empty, although the angel told them that the Lord was risen. The Bible says they ran back to the disciples and other followers to tell them what they had seen. Not all of them, however, believed them. Then there were the two followers that we want to talk about today. The followers of Jesus, not disciples, who were walking to Emmaus. Emmaus is a small little village, maybe about 7 miles or so from Jerusalem, not very far. And we don't know why they were walking to Emmaus. Maybe they lived there. Maybe, on the other hand, like the disciples who locked themselves in a room for fear of what might happen to them, maybe they were going to Emmaus to avoid any problem like that. One thing we do know, though, is that they were continuing to talk about and probably try to make sense out of what had happened in Jerusalem. How Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane, but then Jesus' arrest and his trial, and then his death on the cross. I can imagine their sadness. I can imagine they were walking probably pretty slowly with heavy hearts when suddenly a third person came along, a third traveler, and joined them. And he asked them what it was that they were talking about. They asked him an interesting question. Without knowing who he was, they said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who does not know what has been happening there?" And then they described for Jesus what had happened. In their words, they said he was a prophet who did mighty deeds. He was the one in whom his followers put great hope and great faith, but he had been arrested and executed. I wonder what Jesus was thinking when they were saying these things about Jesus. Finally, Jesus began to speak. And interestingly, the one whom these travelers said was the only one in Jerusalem who didn't know what was going on these days actually was the only one from Jerusalem who knew what was going on and knew why it was going on. Jesus began to explore the scriptures for these travelers so that they could see the heart of God and see God's plan for salvation. I think that Bible study they had on the road was a very special Bible study with a very special teacher. Eventually, they arrived at Emmaus, and the two travelers asked Jesus to stay longer with them. I think maybe they thought the Bible study was not quite over yet, and they wanted to hear more. When it was time to eat, interestingly, the one whom they asked to stay with them, in other words, the guest, Jesus the guest, turned out to be the host. Interesting change of roles. And Jesus is the one who broke bread, prayed, and the Bible says all of a sudden, their eyes were opened, and they recognized who this person was. He was the one whom they had been talking about, the one they had been mourning, the one whom they felt had died and was gone. Jesus was walking with them all of this time. They just didn't recognize him. And they were walking with Jesus, and only until this point did they recognize him. Wouldn't that be a marvelous thing if you and I had opportunity, right, to walk with Jesus? Maybe sometimes we don't recognize, but the risen Lord is risen in order to be with us. Let me share an experience from last week that is not in my sermon. I went to a retreat this last week across the river in Alton, outside of Alton, actually outside of a small little town, Grafton, Illinois. Just outside of Grafton is a lovely state park, Pere Marquette Park in Illinois. It is old. It was built, probably 50, 60, 70 years ago. It has a hotel, has restaurant, has meeting area, just a marvelous place. And it sits looking toward this big, at that point, very big Mississippi River, really beautiful, and the sun comes up over that river, it's really gorgeous. But that river has gotten pretty high these days. When I drove there, went along and I could see that the water in places was, especially in Grafton, that small little town, was right up close to the road, the surface of the road. Not a danger at that point, but I just wondered. It turned out the next morning when we all got up, we heard that road had been blocked off because it was flooded. And in fact, it's getting worse. It's not going to start going down until, I think, tomorrow. But the problem is, how do I get home? I could go north, but I have to go a long ways north in order to have a way to get across the Mississippi into Missouri and to come down to St. Louis. Don't know how many days I would have to stay there. Wouldn't be here today if that were the case. Thankfully, one of the people at the retreat, however, knew some of the back roads, just small little roads. No way to describe to someone all of the turns and little roads to take. I followed him and never let him out of my sight until finally we worked our way past the flooded area through the hills, and then I was able to make it home. And that made me think, given the sermon topic today, walking with Jesus, pretty much like that. Walking with Jesus through the problems, through the difficulties, through the pains, through the uncertainties of life. What a blessing. A blessing to me that this person was willing to let me follow him and made sure that I didn't make the wrong turn. What a blessing that our Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, for the whole way of our life. These men, these two travelers, their eyes were open. They recognized they were not alone in the world. They were not disappointed at the hopes they had put in Jesus Christ. Those who were deep in sorrow were excited as they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to add their witness to what the women had said, to what Peter had said, and the whole message of Jesus' victory over death began to move to the entire world. not long after Jesus opened their eyes and appeared to the disciples. Then our Lord began to open the eyes of others, of Thomas, who said, "I'm not going to believe unless I see." Opened the eyes of Peter, who denied the Lord, isn't that right, in the garden. Opened the eyes of these travelers who couldn't see Jesus, couldn't recognize him. Opened the eyes of Paul, who persecuted Christians. These words, this gift, this treasure, this promise of our Lord being with us is the message of Easter that circulates around every part of this world, among every people in this world. When Jesus revealed himself to those two travelers, the Bible says that their hearts burned within them. It sort of sounds like an unpleasant thing. Burning is usually not something good. I sometimes think maybe another way to say the same thing is that when Jesus revealed himself to them, maybe their hearts that had been cold and empty, maybe even hard, sort of melted. And they realized life is not over. The Lord is not gone. We walk with Jesus until the time that our Lord takes us to himself in heaven. Now, does that happen with us? Hard to describe. But I have the feeling that if we in our lives have some disappointments and some difficulties and problems, and someone, brother or sister, touches us with love, with understanding, with patience, and we realize we're not alone. We realize that these problems can be offered up to the Lord in prayer. Sort of like that. Kind of like there is life in this heart. Or maybe sometimes we're the ones who can bring a message of hope or encouragement to someone we see is having a very difficult time. And they understand, their eyes open, their heart opens. And not only does their heart gain life, but ours as well. Our Savior walks with us through all the difficulties and problems of life. And that is our faith, Emmanuel. That is our hope, because that is also our destination, walking with the risen Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who not only came into the world to give his life for us, but that life was stronger than the death that claimed it. And he rose, and he rules as king. We thank you. Thank you that he also is one who gave his life for us. And therefore, as he rose from the dead, he comes to us to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to melt our hearts, no matter what problem or difficulty or shame we may be facing. Thank you. We ask you to help us recognize him in our brothers and sisters. Recognize him as he comes in ways that maybe our eyes may not see him, but we feel his gift, his presence, his love. In these days of flooding and difficulty, we pray also for those who have lost their housing, those who have lost their business. We ask you to bless them and bless all of those who are trying to help them, so that not only may normal life return, but their faith in the midst of that also be held firm. Lord, all these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.